Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Ladybug Mecca and Doodlebug. They brought jazz to hip hop in the 90s. And we're listening it today on Spike's Car Radio. It's good to be back. I feel like I've been gone for a long time, but really, I think I was just on vacation for a long time. And we're doing a buzzer beater show. This is one of those last minute shows that we do in Beverly Hills. On a Tuesday at noon at Zuckerman's Robertson Joint. And he's here fully suited and beetle booted. And Johnny Lieberman in a what feels kind of retro parking is hard t-shirt at
this
point.
That's right.
It's kind of retro. It's been done, but yet he's wearing it. None of us are trying. You look especially unhinged today.
Good to see you too, Spike.
The hairdo. Of course, between a Quaker Oats man and a hippie. I
don't know. He's getting a little apish and a little Jerry Garcia-y.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I brushed it out. It's kind of...
He runs his fingers through the tangle, mats and the burrs.
It's very out. Monkey-ish. Like if you were behind glass and you were doing that, I'd go, I'm at the zoo. With Monkey Man, right?
I don't disagree. I
disagree.
Please don't throw feces at us. Oh, you're definitely getting feces flung at you.
I just came back from Newport Beach for my birthday, where I was held hostage with my family. Vacationing with my family.
Suffering.
It was excellent. We stayed at this Pebble Beach Resort. No, Pelican Hill Resort. Which is lovely. It's a golf resort. I don't golf, but I like looking at golf courses. They're pretty good. And just watching nonstop U.S. Open. And they give us, we get this, like, they have these, like, houses on the hotel property. It's three-bedroom homes. It's fantastic, Zuckerman. With coyotes. A coyote almost ate Erica Zuckerman. I woke up one morning. Erica was terrified. I go, what happened? She goes, the coyotes were on the patio. And she showed me the little video, and they were right there. Really cool coyotes. Almost ate her, in her words. And I played tennis nonstop. Tennis, beach, pools, and TV. It was great. And went down in a brand new Bentley. How about that? This thing right here. Look. The Bentley Bentayga extended wheelbase azure?
Subtle. Azure.
Subtle. I have never seen a rear door that big. I don't think I've ever seen any door that big.
That's the extended wheelbase. I've never driven this SUV. I have never driven one. Here, listen to this. 84% of Bentaygas are driven every day. Something like 74% of them are used every day in cities, which is totally unlike other products. Although aimed at the chauffeured plutocrat, the Bentley Bentayga extended wheelbase retains all of its sporty character in regular version. I would agree with all of that. And the extended wheelbase is for, do you know what part of this truck? You're right, Zuckerman.
For the rear passenger.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all rear passenger.
It's really meant for that one seat on the passenger side.
The plutocrat himself.
Which was Jack Ferriston.
Your son played plutocrat.
He's got plutocrat tendencies.
I'll be honest. I didn't quite know what extended wheel. You know, you look at that Defender Land Rover, and it looks like they just added extra ass to it.
They did. They did. Yes, that's right.
Okay. And made that third row a little more livable.
The 130 over the 110, yeah.
This thing looks almost like a normal Bentayga. You wouldn't even notice, except for that one seat you're really, really taken care of. But when you do the extension in the foot thing, you have to push that passenger front seat goes forward, so no one's really sitting there.
Right.
But if you do that. But the kids were very, very comfortable. This is, you know, if you like these sorts of things, it really takes care of you. It's a beautiful contraption. Unlike the Bentley convertible that I was driving, I was secure from the world. So I don't know if people hated me. I'm sure they did. Not a single person said, hey, nice, nice Bentayga. But
yeah,
the drive from L.A. down to Newport Beach was quiet, was silent, was private jet-like, and very comfortable. And the thing gets up and goes when you want it to go.
Here's the crazy part. Remember the Porsche Cayenne you had last week?
Yes. Yeah.
Same platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I could feel that. It feels a little heavier, and it tips a little more and turns. It's like competent as a performance vehicle.
No. It's not,
but it is competent. Yeah. You know, when you know those roads down in Newport, they're big, wide open, long. They have beautiful flat streets there that just don't do anything. I don't know how they're accomplishing that.
So this is essentially the Audi Q7 version, you know, that length of the platform. But
yes,
instead of three rows, it's two rows with a monster back seat, just like the Maybach GLS SUV.
So Q7 has this wheelbase, though.
Yeah,
same, it does.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I might be off by an inch or something, but I think it's exactly the same as the Q7. But it's like Mercedes with the GLS. That's a three-row SUV. Unless it's a Maybach, then it's a two-row with a monster back seat with the fridge and the champagne and all that stuff. So
we didn't miss
there
that.
There is a market. There is a market.
This is a $226,000 car, which is $30,000 more than the regular V8 version. It can be optioned, they say, Bentley, 24 billion possible combinations of trim and color.
24 billion.
24 billion.
I need 25.
Like your chances of matching DNA. 24 billion. Yeah.
Here's what I look for, okay? The extremely quiet ride, fantastic. The self-driving, whatever you want to call them, level 2 crap, works really well. The radio, the music is fantastic.
Oh, the name audio. That's name?
Holy moly.
N-A-I-M.
I guess.
I think that's they're all, Bentleys have the most amazing stereos, yeah.
But it's just the silence and the security from, it's one of those cars, like Range Rover will do this too with their high-end Range Rovers. You just feel like you're isolated and secure. Look, can you see in that back window at all?
No.
You can't?
No.
It just moves. Stupid, it's nice.
Stupid question.
Yeah.
What does it weigh and what's the mileage?
Who knows? Who cares? I mean, the mileage wasn't so bad, actually, because we noticed we had 200 miles left after I'd been driving it for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, 24-gallon gas tank. It's going to weigh 5,600 pounds, 5,700
really?
Pounds.
Looks
heavy.
Heavier.
Yeah, well, yeah, because like the, you know, Cayenne you had, the Turbo GT, I know that's about 5,100 pounds. So
wow.
If this had the 12-cylinder, it would be maybe 5,800 pounds.
This doesn't feel too heavy. You know, Bentleys of past have felt pretty heavy, especially in turns. This felt just right. You know, I thought they were taking it back today. My driveway's been insane. like your driveway, Johnny. But I was delighted to learn that it's here till the end of the week. I was like, fantastic.
Isn't that the best feeling? And it's like, oh, really? Okay.
I get to keep it, and that's how I know I love something. So, yeah. You know, again, the Bentley brand, they're fantastic. I don't think I'll ever be in one. I just don't think it's me, but I'd like to be. You know, it's a weird thing to say, but I would.
Me too, man. I would say wait till you turn 65. I think once you hit 65, next week.
165 next year.
No, the two-door becomes very appealing.
Yeah.
This would be very nice for us to go to Musso and Franken.
We could do that.
This is a Musso and Frank car.
Yeah. I think, see, Zuckerman, I thought about you. You know, when I think about the Lincoln lawyer, you should be the Bentley lawyer. The Bentley banana peel lawyer is what your show is.
And so I'm in the back and I'm getting driven to accident scenes and the door opens up.
Yes.
And like Mephistopheles, I'm calling the injured people over.
Yes.
There's a little whiff of sulfur and $100 bills. Bills are being handed out and retainers are getting signed. And then I drive off with
and Johnny, who's been to chauffeur school, I think, with Bentley, he'll drive you.
Rules, but it's the same stuff. Yes.
But this is a perfect car for you to be driven around in. You'd love it. You'd absolutely love it.
Other than I hate being driven.
Yeah. Being driven's the worst. You hate it too. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
Depends who's driving.
Okay. Anybody who's driven me from every time I take an Uber. Well, is there not Uber school? Get in the right lane, mofos, on like La Cienega. That's the fast lane. You're in the left lane. It's going to take you three times longer to get there. Okay? And please, the stink, the cologne.
Oh, well, I mean, come on. No, Ubers are just disgusting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
People kennels, right? Like hotels.
An Uber. I don't mind the Ubers.
My thing with Ubers is
I don't mind it. I'm usually so, you know, it's usually dropping a car for dealing with it, but I'm always worried about my rating. They rate you.
Yeah.
I pay close.
That's why you can't say anything.
I pay close attention to that. I know it doesn't matter, but I want a good rating.
I'm kind and I tip the guy. Listen, my grandfather was a cab driver his whole life. I always pity the chauffeur.
It's like a waiter. It's terrible work.
Terrible work.
But they show up at your house, they got the air conditioning off because somebody told them they can save money by not having the AC on. They got the windows up, it stinks from whatever they're perfuming the car with, and they're playing the worst music you've ever heard. And I got to be like, please turn on the AC, please put the windows down for a little bit to get the smell out, please turn the radio off, like... You know, you get a low rating.
I like when Al Jazeera in its original language is being is on the radio.
What is that other one, this membership one that everybody uses, like Aloe or Alu?
Oh, yeah. I don't know anything
about that. I thought Alu is it's a residence for older people that are getting...
No. There's a fitness wear company. There's this membership kind of Uber where you can join for a monthly or a yearly, and they have a nicer level of.
I thought
service.
That was 80 years and older.
No, strictly
for doctors.
Here's what I mean. What's great about it is you can have. They'll pick your kids up and they'll do stuff like that. And that works. It's hard to put younger kids in Ubers.
They'll pick your kids up. Maybe they'll father your kids. They'll take care of your kids. You can just check out now.
Speaking of kids, did you hear about Gary Busey this morning?
No.
He was involved in some sort of confrontation on PCH right where we go all the time.
Right by Aviator Nation.
And I sent it to Zuckerman right away. I go, check this out. I'm not exactly not on his side, and I'm not exactly not on the girl's side. Let me see if I can play a beat of it. Hold on. Let me see if it'll come up. Well, there's an ad coming up, but it looks like he got in sort of, he hit somebody, allegedly hit a girl, and then did not stop, and she went after him. He's driving some sort of little tiny Volvo. I don't know what it
and
is.
And he was as cogent as he always is when you see him on YouTube and podcasts. I don't understand how he has a driver's license.
I've seen him at the dry cleaners, man. Like,
what happened to him? He got in a motorcycle accident.
Bad motorcycle
accident. What kind of mashed potatoes scale are we talking about here?
He was just boiled vegetables, overboiled mush.
No, it's a potato scale. It's got to stay on the potato scale. Come on. Is he au gratin?
He is completely soupy mashed potatoes. Yes.
All right, let me play a piece of this. Oh, boy. the music is still up. Let me play a piece of this interaction here, see if I can get it to work.
So she's filming him?
No, this is her beeping for him to pull over.
Sir! You hit my car!
She's yelling, "You hit my car, you hit my car."
You've been wiped out.
It doesn't matter, that's not how this works. You hit my car, you have scuffs all over your car.
He's parked and he won't talk to her.
I want the number, I want the information. Sir, you hit my car.
You hit my car, you hit my car.
It doesn't matter, you hit me. You hit my car. No, you rear-ended me. You can't.
And then she's freaking out. You rear-ended me. You hit my car. And he's going, no, I can't. Because he believes in his mashed potato state, he's beyond reproach because he's a celebrity. I've dealt with this guy before. But it's funny also to watch someone freaking out over a little fender bender as if someone just got run over. You're leaving the scene of the accident. Is that really hit and run, Zuckerman? Is that really what the hit and run is? Is it a little scratch like that?
Okay, first, still, if you tap someone, you have to pull over and exchange information. I don't think she
said farmer's insurance or something.
Oh, that really helps. He probably said, tuna fish. Yeah, because he's never in context. He's always out of context. He may have said Tang orange juice. if Gary hit me, I know who Gary is. It wouldn't bother me all that much, but she probably doesn't know who he is. And
she clearly doesn't know who he is. It's hard to even tell who he is. He looks desiccated
deranged.
Deranged and near cap. He's beyond captain's hat at this point.
And those teeth. Let's not forget the.
Yeah.
I can't imagine he truly has a driver's license. Lord knows.
You think they're really paying attention to that in California?
How could he possibly pass a written test? How could he possibly pass any of the necessary tests?
But do you
have
to go back and do it again once you get it? Aren't you in the club?
I think you get to a certain age, and he's of that age where they call you in. You're going to be at that age where they call you in and say, listen, Gramps, get your ass in
here. I have to take, like next year, I got to take a written test for the first time since...
Why?
I
took a written test about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or something
really?
Like that.
Like every 25 years or something, you got to take a written test.
I've done this once.
You got to study, though. The written test is complicated.
Why have you guys? I never have to do anything. I'm fine. Maybe because I transferred from New York.
No, I transferred from New York, too.
I transferred from New York, too, yeah.
And maybe because...
Maybe because I'm a better driver in the eyes of the state of California.
No. I didn't do... Actually, I don't recall. I may not have done my timely online renewal, and they forced me to go down there with the Jetsam and Flotsam. And take it. I think they have the driving test, the written parts in like 59 different languages.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
And...
I just remember I showed up and it hadn't hit me that I had to take a written test, and I grabbed a booklet and was like cramming because they have a lot of that stuff like how far behind a school bus do you have to stop? And the answer is like 600 feet, not 500. You know, it's just, and I, in like minimum score to pass was 17 out of 20 and I got 17. And I was like, whew.
You're a professional driver.
Hey, man.
You would
but
think
I crammed for like 5 minutes. Just like
I got 20 out of 20. Don't worry.
Well, you're an attorney.
Yeah,
you should know that stuff.
All right, let's talk about Roan. Roan! Hey, remember how good I looked at the Pebble Beach Concours Forum? Guess what I was wearing? That's right, Roan. Do you know why? Because it is a pain for me to figure out what to wear. I want it to look nice, but I don't want to be uncomfortable. When you're up on stage, you never want to be uncomfortable, and it's a hassle changing clothes for different acts. The whole thing, going from the car to the stage to having breakfast that morning. Well, guess what? Roan sent me that entire outfit, and it crushed. It was so, so comfortable, and now you too can have clothes from Roan, and especially their commuter collection, the most comfortable, breathable, flexible products known to mankind. Here's why. Products for every occasion. When you're hosting your own forums, they have mobility, which, what does that mean? That means stretch fabric. Four-way stretch fabric. I can tell you this, man, when you sit down, when you stand up, you just feel comfortable. The shirts, you know, when you put on a shirt on, a regular shirt, you button it, it just feels tight. These feel like your favorite t-shirts, except they look great. I had a white shirt on. I had blue pants. And guess what? Odor-free tech. So even Zuckerman can wear it. That's right. Gold Fusion anti-odor technology keeps you smelling fresh and clean all day. I cannot speak more highly than this brand. I use their tennis stuff. I had already been using Roan. Now they're dressing me for various occasions, and I couldn't be happier. You've got to check out the Commuter Collection. They can get you through any workday straight into whatever comes next. Head to Roan, RHONE.com/Spike911, and use promo code Spike911 to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order. Head to Roan, RHONE.com/Spike911. Use code Spike911. It's time to find your corner office comfort. You're going to love it. Trust me, you're going to look great. You're going to feel great. And then all you'll be wearing is wrong. All right, back to the show. All right, I have so many cars to get through here.
Yeah.
So many things have been in my driveway if you've been following me on Instagram. And let's keep going. The BMW 2002 TE electric from Bavarian Econs. You saw this in the tennis ball yellow.
Amazing.
And I wrote, could be the most popular press car I have ever driven, period. The most popular. The first day I took the cover off the damn thing, I couldn't get out of my driveway because, you know, everybody walks now since the pandemic. Everybody walks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the women, the older women.
The women.
And I was talking to the fellas from Munich who make this thing. Can't remember the guy's name, but I'll remember in a minute. Bavarian Icons. And he said, women are the market for this, especially women who don't know a lot about vintage cars. They want a vintage car and they want it to be electric. They don't want to burn gas. And in my head, I was thinking, well, good luck with that.
And then we
because you're not going to sell any of these. And sure enough, I take the cover off it and it was like, boom.
Yeah.
I talked to one woman. Boom, take off. I talk to the next one. Boom, my neighbor's husband calls me. What's the car in your driveway? My wife has not stopped talking about it.
So what's the horrible part about old cars? They don't turn on, right? They break when you're driving them. EVs, there's nothing to break.
But people don't understand that this is an EV when they first look at it, right, Ferriston?
They don't. So here's the pattern.
That's the thing that...
It's Nicholas from Bavarian Econs. Here, right. Here's what goes on. Let me tell you about driving it before we get into it.
No.
You get... there are a couple things that are interesting about it. My biggest criticism and worry about an electric vintage was going to be, once you have a silent drivetrain, you're going to have a lot of creaks and, you know, it's already hard enough, right? You hear creaks and whines and things in an old 911, but the engine can drown some of that out and you don't hear it. These guys had this thing tuned perfectly. It was silent when you drove it, which was one of my biggest barriers. It's 180 horsepower. Front compartment, instead of having the engine, has batteries in it. 140,000 euros if you have your own 2002, I believe.
That's expensive.
If you want them to source it, we're up around 250.
Euros?
So
that's like
no, US dollars.
Oh, but 140 grand.
But options are AC, which this car had, sport buckets, and a radio it did not have. What is it like to drive? Well,
Yes. Tell.
Here are some of the, you know, and I want to give them constructive criticism because this car is one of those celebrity cars. Not just the neighbors. You're driving down the street, thumbs up. You're a stoplight. The dads are like, "What is it? That's a beautiful 2000. It's electric. You're kidding me. Where can I get one? I swear I could have sold 10 of these on the west side of LA." Here are some issues with it. And there are several issues which I think they can work on. One, in a vintage car, you have a lot of knobs and switches that are labeled for other things. In the BMW 2002, you have a lot of those knobs that don't have labels. And now a lot of those knobs and switches have functions and they are not labeled in this. So there is a relative amount of confusion that goes away after a few days of learning it. But still, in your head, you're kind of like, I need to know a little faster where I pop into sport mode. It's an old-fashioned analog lever. To start it, you put the key in and you don't just turn it on like to get the electric. You have to turn it as if you're grinding an ignition, right? And then the car has like a 3-second turning on sequence that can get a little confusing. Sometimes it wouldn't turn on, sometimes it would. When you get on the gas, it jumps. I mean, you touch it with your foot and the thing jumps forward. It's really, really fast. Like, it's not tuned yet.
Yeah, that's programming, but yeah.
Yeah, it's programming, but it needs to be handled. You know, that said, on the road, delightful, doesn't feel heavy, turns like a sports car should, and you love it. You immediately kind of love it, but it's one of those things where they need to finesse some of the littler issues with it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I coincidentally drove a 1957 Cadillac Bel Air convertible that was converted to EV.
Right.
And kind of fantastic, just because, like, you're never going to turn a corner in a car like that anyways. It's right. Just a cruiser. It's a 283. It's not a particularly great sounding V8. They're not known for their sounds. So it's like, you know, I don't know, it makes 300 horsepower, can cruise 220 miles. And it was just great. It just worked.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to break down on the side of the road, which is always the fear of old cars, is like, I'm going to get stranded. You know, it's not going to start. This engine does something weird. There's just nothing to go wrong, really. And it was great. It was a convertible. It was, you know, it was nice. It's silent. Enjoy. Cruise around. So,
you know, had they totally redone the interior of this car? Did it was everything?
You know, there were new one or two new instruments. So there was like a, for the charge, there was like a gas gauge that would say empty, full, little like off to the side. And then some of the instruments were original to the car. But, you know, if you look quickly, it's the exact same interior as the 2002, which you would actually like.
But it was refurbed. Like it was like everything was.
Yeah. Everything was new in this car. Yeah. And it was done right. And look, it's definitely, if you're in the market for an electric vintage, I would definitely be talking to these guys, and I would be dialing in some of the specifics of the car. And like you're saying, if that accelerator is a programming issue, then you'd want to say, hey, I don't want to drive into the wall when I first start.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, you really love it. If you like attention from the outside world, it's the best kind. It smiles and everybody loves you. I mean, it just wins a lot. Weirdly, this car didn't have seatbelts, which I'm not sure about that.
It's what year is it based on?
Well, it's
2002, late 60s.
Yeah, so it should have
late 60s, early 70s.
You legally don't need them.
Hey, well, but they should at the very least be lap belts, if not.
But the people who are going to buy,
yeah, you want a shoulder belt.
Yeah, and this belonged to someone had spec this car out in Houston. So I guess the deal was, this car's on its way to Houston, and the guy said we could use it for press, and there you go. Look,
do you think it was the color that garnered the attention?
That's the most interesting part of this, Zuckerman. All right. Color always attracts people. The model definitely attracts the fans of the model. And on the west side of LA, great, BMW 2002s, everybody, every one of those Swiggins and Peabody's who grew up with BMW is like, you know what I'm saying? We've got something. Then here's the new thing. The discovery that this thing that they loved can be bought in an electric platform. That catapults.
Right.
That's a whole new segment. That I know it's been around. I've seen it. I just didn't believe in it. But now I see that there's a market for it. For
what about mod cons? Power windows or cranks?
No, cranks.
And what about AC?
Yeah, there's a little kind of, you know, new button there and the original fan.
Right. Dial.
And it worked great. It worked great.
Huh. Well, good for them.
I mean, I owned a 2002 in the mid-90s that I bought for like $1,500. That worked for 7 minutes.
It was a pun.
And I didn't have the money at the time. It was horrible, you know, and it never moved, you know, and I didn't have the wherewithal to fix it. I couldn't afford to get it fixed. Leaky sunroof, grew mushrooms in it during El Nino in San Francisco. It was fantastic. Yeah. So I get the appeal of, you know, taking the engine out of a 2002, which again, isn't that great of an engine. What I worry about is when people start getting a hold of like XJ12s. And they pull a V12.
Well, what? How many 2002s were made?
Tons. There were tons.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you say tons, Zuckerman, like how many?
It was the new class. There were hundreds of thousands, if not millions, all over the world.
And these guys, because a few people were like, I can't believe you're ruining. I think they also restore 2002s with petrol motors as well. But they're not making thousands of cars a year. Oh, you know, there's plenty of them around there.
You're not taking one of three and
yeah, yeah.
So I put a picture of that Bel Air up, and someone's like, "How could you do that to the Chevy small block?" I'm like, you know they made, you know how many small block Chevys made? 100 million. They've literally made over 100 million.
Yeah.
Small blocks. Like there's more small blocks than there are British people.
Yeah.
Know? Like it's not a problem. You
the
know?
Electric resto mod is here to stay. There's definitely a market for them. You're going to see more, and
just don't take a special engine.
Yeah,
it's a special.
I agree with that.
These guys, Bulletproof, that did the Chevy I drove, they're doing a Dino, right? And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. And they're like, oh, don't worry, we took the engine out, we encased it in something, and it's stored and sealed, so it pops right back in. So if you ever want to go back to the original Dino motor, but I was like, that's kind of interesting, like. Dino with power.
If you look,
that's an old pitch for a vintage car. We've got the original motor in a crate. And,
yes, thank you.
Yeah,
a potted plant. Yeah, there were basically
dust off the motor.
Yeah, there were basically 750,000 of body types of the various that body type.
So there's
from
plenty
1600s
of
to 2002s. Yeah,
that's a lot. Leave them alone. They're doing something. Let's talk about Vredestein, the official tire partner of Spike's Car Radio. I saw that you got your tires on and wheels on your Rivian. They look great.
Yeah, the wheels. Black Rhino sent me some wheels, and I reached out to Vredestein, and they sent me some Pinza. I've been calling them pincers. They're Pinza tires, and they're kind of just like the OEM Pirellis that come on the car. And I'm already like, because I put on some pretty serious off-road tires, and already it's quicker, it handles better, it rides better, it's quieter, and the range is back to
I think what it also looks better. I mean, the tires and the wheels that they gave you, it has a better look for me. When I saw it, I saw that truck before I knew it was yours on Instagram. That's cool.
Oh, funny. Yeah, the wheels are killer. I had these Toyo off-road things. They look tougher, but these wheels look really good. So
yeah, so there you go.
Yeah,
our friends.
Yeah. Go Vreds.
Vredestein. Yeah, Vreds. We're just going to say Vreds.
Vreds.
Vreds. Vreds is dead.
We love all of their stuff. Johnny has them. I have them. Erica has them. Zuckerman, you have not given us a car yet. They're on my Land Rover Series 2A wheels and tires, the Grip Classics. Their designers designed old Seikos and a bunch of great cars, BMW M1, Tatamac Mangusta. That's why they're our tire partner. I don't know where you get them. You go to Vredestein?
Yeah, Vredestein.com, I'm sure.
And
or Tire Rack, anywhere you get tires. Call Zip Tire.
Yeah.
Who's officially partnered with them? I'm allowed to mention it.
They are. So now there's a partnership between Zip and Vredestein?
We should probably talk about it off the air, but if like we get Vredesteins for Zuckerman, part of the deal is Zip Tire will put them on his cars.
Yes, that's the deal.
The deal. I don't know the details of it yet.
All right, there's more car talk here, and I told you, it's all car talk this episode.
What about a movie review? I got a movie review.
No.
I got an Audi review.
Here's the only story that I knew you would be interested in, Zuckerman, that is not car talk. Delta flight diverted after passenger reportedly had diarrhea all the way through the airplane.
All the way.
Pilot tells air traffic controller, this is a biohazard issue. Flight from Atlanta to Barcelona, Spain, turned around after 2 hours.
I got to tell you,
diarrhea.
There's a lot to think about here. All through the plane.
Through the plane is an interesting
the
phrase.
It's pretty big. That's a high volume of diarrhea. It's an impressive coverage. Impressive coverage.
You know how I feel about Fox News, but they had the story, so I did actually read it. And I believe it's true. This story, I believe, is true.
So who do you sue?
You don't sue anybody, and then you say, my God, what did this person have? Hantavirus, Ebola?
Don't you want to see... I hope somebody shot that. I hope somebody had the presence of mind to take their phone out and shoot a guy diarrheaing.
Everywhere. 360-degree coverage.
So does this mean he's in his seat, he's like, I got to go, and he just shits out his pant leg all the way down the aisle?
One could only assume... It may have been a lady.
The flight is starting in Atlanta, so you know he was eating a lot at the airport, and it was hot, and he wasn't feeling well.
Let's just be clear. And alcoholic.
Let's not just assume it's a guy, okay? Could have been a lady, and we have to say someone probably ran in one direction to the bathroom, and then when denied entry in the back, ran all the way forward. This is the only way I can conceive that it was throughout the plane.
What? There are some stories that are just made for Zuckerman. And I knew, and you picked right up on the part I knew you would. Zuckerman. All the way through the airplane.
All desperation. If it's back in front, I can't get in.
If it's going to Barcelona, though, that's a wide body, so two aisles. Do we think they got both aisles?
Both destinations are gross. They're both. It's the perfect thing to have happened.
I can't wait to fly tonight.
ETA, oh, diarrhea.
If ever...
What's your ETA? Diarrhea.
I mean, they'd love to duct tape. If ever they were going to duct tape someone, that was the person to duct tape. Just get him in the chair. But the smell, the whole thing, what a nightmare.
And you know there was another story of a similar nature. Somebody got thrown off the plane, two people, because they refused to sit in vomit seats. A plane, load of passengers deplaned. The next people get on the plane, and it's not cleaned up. And sir, take your seat. I don't want to sit in that seat. And then gets ejected from the plane as if they're unreasonable.
So who do you
would
sue?
You sit and vomit?
Am I being threatened with ejection?
Yes.
I don't think I would. No.
Yeah, throw me off.
Yeah.
Not sitting and puke.
That's crazy.
I left an Airbnb because there was vomit smell on the couch, which the people denied.
Of course they denied.
You can't get vomit out of a couch. I've tried.
This was fresh vomit.
Taken from Lieberman. Yeah. Taken from Lieberman.
You can't.
It's one of the truest statements. Forget about everything he said about cars, anything else.
Yeah.
He knows.
Oh, I do.
Can't get vomit out of a couch.
It's just, that's the end of the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
On that note,
all the way through the airplane. God. Was it Delta flight? Is that who it was? It was Delta.
Maybe, was it? Maybe. I'm flying Delta.
I hope to. Would you please try to reenact this for us?
I was.
Have you ever
flight.
Seen the flight attendant because someone's passing gas on a plane? She comes through and sprays.
Yes.
The delayed or whatever it is.
No.
Like to shame everybody. Imagine what was going on this woman running up and down or this
screaming,
man.
Screaming passengers too.
I was on a flight out of Iceland where it was a 737, but the entire first class cabin was just car journalists. And everybody except for me got food poisoning, and it was both ends. And it was close to hazmat. It was so gross because there was one bathroom in first class, and there was just a constant for like Iceland to Boston, which is like 5 hours. It was absolutely disgusting.
Which car was this?
Subaru.
Oh, perfect segue.
Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid.
There you go.
Best trip of all time.
Well, what a perfect segue.
Yeah. I planned it.
Diarrhea and vomiting on the last Subaru Crosstrek. Well, here we have the 2024 dropped off in my driveway by the
wilderness.
Good people. Nope. It was a sport.
Huh?
Dropped off by the good friends, my good friends at Subaru now, who are very interested in me or my son driving one of these cars. I loved it. Loved this thing. I really loved it, and it was very, I noticed the listeners were going back and forth about the various things about it. Let me tell you first what it was. It was, they have a bunch of different kinds. They have the base, they have the premium, they have the sport, they have the limited, and the wilderness, which is on its way. This was the sport. We feel like that one looks the best in our house. It's a whopping 182 horsepower.
Hey,
whopping. Yeah, 2.5 liter engine. It's a four, right? Mm-hmm. Seven, 0 to 60, 7+ seconds. This is all. Now, keep in mind, this is for a new driver. Here's what I didn't expect from this thing. I got in it and I felt at home immediately. I loved it. It took me right out of the LA stupidity of cars and trying to impress people. And I immediately felt some New England, Massachusetts humility. And I liked it, and it had these great seats in it, these super comfortable sport seats. Let me tell you what's different about this new one. All new interior and exterior chassis, 10% stiffer. New head unit with wireless Apple CarPlay. Works way, way better than a lot of Apple CarPlays I use. The charging pad, which is flat, and this is a message to all manufacturers. You gotta make it so I put my iPhone down and I don't have to keep adjusting it. Like my crank in my pants when I'm walking around.
Your crank? Holy shit, Ferguson.
You know, even the Bentley, even the Porsche, everybody who's got these pads, they jump around, you look up and the phone's not charging. And it becomes this constant like battle and anxiety
few
for people
do it
like
right.
me.
Very few do it right.
You know who does? Tesla. They have that kind of leaning one. You just lean it again. You never have to adjust it. It sits perfectly. It's just perfect. Think about that. Small complaint, Subaru. We worked with a team of medical researchers. Who is this? They're right.
Array the diarrhea.
This is
on the seat design, and they're great. So this is what they're saying. Because I asked them what was different. What are you guys most proud of? And that's what they were saying. I noticed that the seats. You know, the kids were like, "These are the most comfortable seats." One kid fell asleep in the seats. That's an amazing little
smart.
Thing, right? Significantly quieter, of which it is, almost the same size as the last Crosstrek, has the new EyeSight system with extra camera. The only thing carryover is the drivetrain, although both engines were modified. And then the Wilderness, I guess, has a raised ground clearance, comes up from 8.7 inches to 9.3, and that's not out yet, but
that's
coming.
That's legit.
But coming. Here's the most controversial piece. They dropped the previous model's manual transmission, thus the comments... because of this automatic CVT only transmission, which is just fine.
Just fine.
It's got a little sport mode in it. You pop it on. It goes fast enough. Again, when we're talking about kids, right? We don't want them going that fast. I heard I got my Ford Bronco allocation, but I haven't seen it come across in an email. I'm going to lease this thing first. My son gets his license in 5 months. I'm going to drive it for 5 months myself. Yeah. That's how much I liked it.
I get a Crosstrek. Whenever we go to New Jersey to visit my father-in-law, I get a Crosstrek from Subaru. And they're just great. They're fine. They're not, I guess maybe the sport one is sporty, but they're just fine. I really dig the Crosstrek. It's just everything you want out of a little family car. And for a 16-year-old, literally perfect, right? It's not going to be too fast, but it's fast enough. Everything's going
to
work.
He's this kind of adventure kid, likes to canoe, likes to camp, likes to be in the woods, wants to off-road a little, you know, and it's the perfect thing for him.
And over 8 inches of ground clearance, he can do a lot of off-roading in it. It's actually pretty good. And EyeSight is fantastic. It's a camera-based system that's like does smart cruise control, but more importantly for a kid, if he's looking down at his phone, it'll stop the car before he rear-ends someone.
By the way.
And it works well.
It did that for me.
Yeah.
It was alerting me all over the place, which again, for a new driver, I thought, fantastic. It's not the cheapest car. It's 32, probably 30,000.
It's not. That's
it
not
doesn't have, as far as I know, a park assist option. This car didn't have it.
Don't think so.
Which I would like it to have.
But I remember I had one, it was actually in the Forester, but it was one of those where, like, you know, the wife's on the phone, like, the DirecTV guy was supposed to be here between 1 and noon, and he's not here, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I was screaming and looking at my phone and trying to find an email, and the car in front of me, a dog ran in front of it.
Yep.
And again, it's like a, you know, $35,000 car, fully stopped the car.
Yeah.
I would have rear-ended the guy.
Yep.
You know, I was like, that's a good piece of tech.
Yeah. No, so, it definitely did that to me a couple times when I was not paying attention to the road.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very interesting area of law for me.
Oh, I can't wait. Why?
Defective stop assist. People who become reliant upon stop assist and then they rear end someone and claim the stop assist failed to work.
But Subaru people, I like the Subaru. Let me tell you what it's like to drive on the road. Everybody loves you.
Yep.
Here, you are a nobody to Range Rover people. They just cut you off. Here's the weirdest thing.
You're not threatening.
It's so weird, Zuckerman, and I know people listening probably go, obviously, but I'm sorry, I don't, when you're this close to things, I guess the stuff we drive puts out a certain vibe that we're not getting a lot of politeness on the road. People were letting me in everywhere. They were waving. I was just a good guy. I liked it. I'm just a normal, a man among men, just a person.
You're a positive to this world and the environment.
Yes.
Yes, we know just by virtue of this car, you're doing good shit for the world.
Yes.
You're recycling. You bring your bags to the supermarket. Yes. Yeah. Everything.
You're a likable sort.
You use a toilet that composts.
Yes.
I know all of that. So you get a lot of latitude.
Yes. They don't have those juicy colors they used to have a few years
back.
Why not? That non-metallic blue and the orange.
Yeah, we like that.
I know. Those kind of disappeared. The color palette isn't as good, in my opinion. But still, it's a happy place.
And he's 16. He doesn't need an orange car. He'll be fine.
I'm kind of talking about me.
Oh,
he loved it. So what? He got in it, and he went, he goes, I can't believe how much I love this. And he's driven like he learned to drive on the Volkswagen Beetle. He can drive a manual.
Right.
Zagatos, GT2 RS. He's driven everything.
Right.
But he went, I can't believe how much I love this. And I said, you know, your dad used to have a job called the car matchmaker. This is what I did. And he went, what? No, I love this.
Like, you're taking points
doesn't
away from
even,
yourself.
Yeah,
right.
No
right.
points for dad on that
right.
one.
Right.
That's just teenagers.
But Subarus are one of those things. Like, car people like Subarus.
Car people like them. Subaru people like other Subaru people.
That's right.
You're going to get lots of invitations to come over. You... Your husband, your polyamorous family.
No, right. And then, you know, there's the stupid jokes that they used to make the dumb joke that this is a lesbian's car in New England, but that's like a 40-year-old joke. You got to get some new material because that's really not the vibe of this company anymore. And even if it was, who cared?
I mean, they play into it. I went on a launch and they were like, hey, you can put 200 rolls of hemp twine in the rear with the seat up and 240 yoga mats in the back with the seat down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Subaru's in on the joke, so.
It's a good one. It's a winner.
No, they're great cars.
I liked it. Then I had this guy from New England. He's got his own motorcycle company, Audette Motorcycles. Talking to us, listens to the podcast, knows him from New England. Because I really want to design a bike with you. And I said, sure. He goes, just pick a color. I'm making a bike right now. And I'm going to bring it up to Monterey. Turns out he didn't make it up there because he was delivering bikes all the way from Connecticut. But I said, you know, if you're going to make something, make it a color, do you know who Alois Roof is? And he said, no.
No.
And I said, here, look at this 901. He has this beautiful blue 901. This is before Pebble, and I knew the car was going to be up
really?
There.
Really? Oh,
right?
Wow. I didn't get the connect. Okay, yeah.
So he goes, yeah, I'll do it that exact color. And he, you know, flipped out, what a car, you know, amazing old 911. And I go, yeah, just see if you can match that exact color. So this guy, I totally forget about it. He texts me. He goes, I can't make it up to Monterey, but can I come over to your house Sunday after Monterey? And I say, yeah, stop in. I go, where are you in L.A.? He goes, oh, I'm in Fresno. He goes, I'm going to drive down. He drives down with his buddy. This guy is a Marine veteran, fought in Afghanistan, stationed there, and came out of the whole experience, a bit of an engineer, going, I want to, I guess a lot of veterans drive motorcycles. The intensity of driving fast, hot rod motorcycles kind of matches the intensity of the action, right? Maybe
sure.
It kind of helps you come down in the real world. He goes, I want to build the best American superbike in the world. And he creates this bike called the Velos. And he shows up in his trailer. Starts telling me where he's been driving. He's essentially crisscrossing the United States with his motorcycles and delivering them, which I'm like, what do you do in the car? He goes, well, listen to your podcast for one. And then
nice.
A lot of looking at roads. And we spoke of giant eagles in Nebraska, which we had both seen, these giant car-sized eagles that eat deer. And you see a lot of weird things in Nebraska.
Wow.
And he takes out this bike, and it is a perfect match for the Alois Roof. And you can see this thing. It's on Instagram. I'll show you the pictures. And, you know, because I had said to him, I go, look, man, you know, I like what you do. I like who you are. I took a look at the company, but you don't have to drive down here from Fresno. We'll talk about you on the show and send listeners there and they can check out your stuff. And he goes, no, he goes, I don't want that. I want you to ride it. Even if you just ride it around the block and take it out, I'd feel better about it if you did that rather than just giving me the plug. And I go,
serious man.
Tony, come down. So he comes down. We have a couple soda waters. He pulls this thing out of the trailer and it's absolutely stunning. And he goes, go ahead, hop on. I grab one of my Bell helmets and I jump on it. And oh my gosh,
it's good.
It is. It's a whole segment of bike that, you know, if you ever, do you ever see Confederate motorcycles?
Oh, sure.
These really big, high horsepower monsters, right? Not the usual stuff. No fairing, no wind redirection. You're just out naked on this hog.
So it's like a big, fast Harley type thing.
These are $90,000 motorcycles. Engines have six gears. This is what he said. These engines have six gears, but I have personally never gotten out of five as I run out of road. I think this one is 130 horsepower. I think that's what he said, and I apologize if I have that wrong. Top speed in fifth gear that Tony's reached, 186 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Now, pretty good. I didn't quite, you know, I was tired. There was a lot of stuff. The Bavarian Econ had just been dropped. I'm just trying to listen, pay attention, but suddenly I'm on this motorcycle, and I take it down Kenter. I take it out to Sunset. And then get on it. And it showed no signs. It accelerated so bloody fast and was such a wild riding experience, unlike any other motorcycle that I had. It was so funny. And I got it into third gear. Every inch of every gear accelerated. There was no end to the acceleration.
Right, right.
Like, it surprises me. Like he says, I only got it up to 186. It seems like it would go 1,000 miles an hour, and yeah. It made a beautiful noise. And it has its own style. You know, when you see it, you'll know what I mean. It doesn't look like anything else. It was a wonderful machine.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of it. It's pretty funky looking.
Yeah, his whole idea is powerful, purposeful, and analog. That was his whole idea. His dream was to engineer the purest, most powerful, most refined motorcycle, and I think he did it. And
what's the name of the company again?
Audette. A-U-D-E-T-T-E Motorcycles in Connecticut, in New England. Bikes weigh about 460 pounds. They start at $90,000, and they are works of art. And Tony Audette, thank you for stopping by. They're terrific bikes.
Did he ever find the 901?
No. So then I said, you know what's a weird coincidence? This 901 that I picked as a color, turns out it was entered at Pebble this year and won
its class.
It won its class. What a weird coincidence.
Should have won the fucking show, let's be honest.
And he said, yeah, it was at the Peterson Auto Museum this morning. I'm like, that's right. That's right. And I called you and I said, do we know where the Roof family is and where the car is? It turns out it was still there.
Oh, okay.
They hadn't taken it from
there.
Oh,
okay.
Because Peterson Auto Museum, somebody from their social media texted me after he'd already left. I sent him over there to kind of have a look and try to get a picture. But
yeah, I called Aloisa and she was like, it's in storage. And it was, I was at the...
But it was in storage at the Peterson.
Yeah, sorry, miscommunication. She was getting on a plane to go back to Germany. It was the whole thing.
So, wow.
But yeah, cool.
Yeah, cool car, cool story.
Zuckerman, you know about this 901?
I saw pictures, but I don't know the history. I know it was a 63 prototype.
It's the oldest.
The most desirable.
So
color
okay.
and year for 911.
Okay, so its chassis number is 5.
Yeah, it's insane.
The oldest one Porsche owns is 23.
Wow.
So this thing belonged to Ferry Porsche, and then Metzger owned it for a while, and then Alois Roof bought it 55 years ago.
Wow.
And it was crashed. I guess Metzger crashed it, and he's just waiting to restore it. He somehow got a hold of engine 22. Now you say, oh, it's not numbers matching. It never had an engine. It was the Paris show car. First time the public ever saw a 901 was this particular car. It was the first one that had 5 gauges. Before that, the first four had 2 gauges. And Ferry Porsche was like, it looks old, make it look modern. So in 1963, 5 round dials looked modern. It had a wooden engine for the show, which just looked like an engine. And they perfectly restored it. It won the Porsche class at Pebble Beach. And I was like, this should be best of show. Like, if you're trying to make Pebble Beach resonate
post-war relevant
today, 75 years of Porsche, 60 years of 911. Here's the oldest one on earth, and it's perfect, and it's owned by a cool family. Like, pull the trigger, but 1937 Mercedes, that was actually a really good one.
Yeah, that was a good one,
too. It was pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Anyways, just an amazing car. An amazing car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's so cool. I wish we could have got them together. Anyways, next time.
No, that car. Sometimes I have a hard trouble even looking at it because I have that little, you know, that old 901 model. They sell them in red and blue. I have that blue one, and that's like, I guess I don't even talk about that as much as the 250 short wheelbase. Like, that's the other thing I would just kill to have.
Kill.
I know one in that color blue.
Yeah.
Would just send me over the...
She let me sit in it. I got to sit in it.
Ooh.
It was very nice.
Nerdy car talk.
Very nice, yeah.
She let me sit in it.
She sure did.
All right, before we go, tell us what you're driving, Johnny.
I am in the last of the V10s. I'm in an Audi R8. This is the full-fat, 600-some-odd horsepower, all-wheel drive version of the Audi R8. Wrapped up in a very special livery.
I like it.
Yeah, this was the guy, his name's Frank, let me look him up real quick. Frank something, but anyways.
Frank designed, Audi Sport.
Yeah, he designed the original R8, the Quattro Le Mans concept, which became the R8, and the R8 LMP car, which won 5 out of 6 entries at Le Mans. So he's sort of a stud designer. Frank, I want to get his name right.
And Beans.
He did the livery. Lamberti. Frank Lamberti. And they asked him to design the livery for the last ever U.S. press car. They were giving journalists, there was an opportunity to drive this around Laguna Seca. That's why it's got Laguna Seca on the roof. Mm. I missed it. But I've been driving it for last week. It's just freaking awesome. And like,
yeah.
I let my friend Paul drive, and he said it best. He's like, he gets out. He's like, man, if I had to buy a Porsche, I'd buy an R8. And
right?
it's just like, it's so nice inside. It's you know, it has the performance of the Turbo S, but it sounds like a V10's behind your
can
head.
Can you buy this livery, this wrap, or not?
I don't think you can. I'm sure you could get someone to reproduce it, but it's not an option.
It's made for like ski wrecks. Some rack, throw your skis up and drive to Tahoe.
It's just, I hit like 152 up in the canyons, like without even thinking hard about it. I've done 198, not in this car, in another R8. Like, it's a real supercar, yet it doesn't scrape on anything. There's no front end lift because it doesn't need it. It's not super low to the ground.
No, it's so easy to drive.
Yeah, and it's got decent cup holders. The stereo's great. Everything works.
Yeah, it's such a winner.
Yeah, it really is a cool car. They're in production until December, a little birdie told me. So if you want an R8, now's your chance. Last chance.
What comes next?
Well, officially nothing. Unofficially, there'll be an electric halo vehicle for Audi. The question is, this is twinned with the Huracan, the Lamborghini Huracan. So there will be a Huracan successor. Will there be an Audi twin? If there is, the Huracan successor is getting a really wacky V8. So there's a chance there'll be a V8 wackadoodle supercar. And when I say wackadoodle, hybrid V8 up till 7,000 RPM. At 7,000 RPM, I want to say 4 turbochargers suddenly kick on, and the turbos go from 7 to 10,000. That's the Lambo replacement. So you'll never have turbo lag because they don't turn on until 7,000, and it's hybrid assist until then. So there's, you know, you get the torque fill from the electric motor.
A rocket.
It's just going to be insane.
It's never-ending, Zuckerman. Think of all the cars we just talked about, and there's just more coming.
I had an Integra. I didn't even talk about it last week. I had an Integra Type S, like $52,000. You could not buy a better car.
Could not
buy a better car.
Doesn't stop.
We're reaching peak car.
We are in a golden age.
You know, it's
platinum.
And then this morning I got the old factory email that GT3 RS is out of paint.
Yes.
And I haven't even driven the GT3
RS. And it's already obsolete.
I haven't driven.
Yeah.
Zuckerman.
Why are you bringing us this car? It's too late.
I will, our friend from New York, I think, is coming to town today. So he wants to drive. I'll drive it. I'll drive it tomorrow. I'll do it.
How is it?
Yeah, you drove it. Yeah, tell us. You had the funniest description of
I told you. This is the finest blade ever produced in Germany. My blade, when I put it away, was wet with the blood of all foes, Lieberman. There was not one person who approached that came away unscathed from the encounter.
So where did you drive it? You drove it home that day on the highway.
I drove it to Malibu, and I drove a little bit around there, and I drove it back. And I have to say, perfect execution of concept. It's very specific what I'm saying. The concept of this
of intended function.
Yes, the concept was delivered on. It is the right size. It's the right weight. It's the right power. It's such a great handling package.
You can dice and slice, and it's telepathic. You barely have to glance. You know where you are. You know where every other car is. You're like that greatest quarterback that knows where the whole entire field is and how you're going to thread your way.
You're like the Flash. Moving at a different speed.
You're moving at a different speed. And then, of course, if you ask me for the complaint, it is ludicrous how loud this car is. As it is so effing loud.
That's why you got to get the spider.
Yeah, you have to.
You put in a little AirPods.
I don't have ear dicks. We've talked about this for years. I don't put dicks in my ears like you do. We can go back to SCR number 43 where I went off.
Spike puts dicks in his ears.
Yeah. He puts ear dicks away from me. I don't put that shit in my ears. But in this case, I would probably get some foam earplugs.
That would be fun.
And you know how I feel about the seats.
But racing foam earplugs? Racing foam earplugs would be fun for that car.
So as uncomfortable as I am in that bucket, right? Which it's slightly more padded. So the first moment I sat, I said, "Oh, this is better." But then, being in traffic in that thing, it was torture. The minute the road opens up, the adrenaline takes over. You don't have any pain. It's like when you're shot.
You
don't feel the pain because you're so full of adrenaline. I loved it. And
because when you're turning, you want the sports seat to kind of hold your body in place. It feels so right.
I don't know.
When I drive that GT2 RS with the 18 ways, I kind of roll out of the seats. I don't like that. I want support.
Do you guys keep the? Well, you haven't driven it, but is this a keeper?
I don't know yet, but I will tell you, it was universally admired. People lost their shit seeing this car. Everybody liked this car. Man, woman, child, everybody liked it. Everybody liked the color combination.
Yeah.
It was a home run. And
You're getting me excited about this.
You should be excited. In fact, I had someone text me, "This is such a beautiful car. I want you and Ferriston to come and be guests at my restaurant."
Restaurant?
In K-Town, a Korean barbecue. Down Olympic,
I'll come.
And we got to bring the car?
Yeah. We got to bring the car.
That's a small price to pay.
Yeah.
Is it Korean barbecue? I love Korean barbecue.
So it the attention it got. And you saw, I posted a couple of mediocre pictures and it blew up.
Yeah. No, it's exciting.
I mean, that car has some, we're too inside to see it, but someone was pointing out to me, like, the provenance already of this car of having Pruinger consult on the exterior and Seinfeld consult on the interior, and then you two involved.
That's the GT3 RS.
Oh, I thought you said Seinfeld made you get these seats.
He did. Yeah. You're right.
And Pruny helped Pruny with the paint.
Well, Pruny had that press GT4 RS with the hood and the special wishes stuff. Yeah. Right.
So I'm just...
And I did chat with him about it.
Yeah, so it's just like...
And Jerry insisted on the sport seat change when we were doing the movie, and Zuckerman said yes.
So it's kind of like...
But that's just... Yeah, it is. I hear what you're saying, but everybody... I mean, we all talk to each other when we want to... All friends talk to each other before they get a car.
I'm just saying, again, remember last week when we were trying to flee out of the experience center?
Oh, yeah.
And then I let my friend take my track time that you very nicely gave me. And I was like, I want to go on the off-road course. And the guy's like, "You don't want to do the track?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've done it." I'm like, and like, he's looking at me like I'm crazy. And so you don't realize, like, actually this car is very exciting to a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I saw on the little map, it said it's being delivered to the Porsche Experience Center again. So we're headed back there, I guess.
I hope it's a cooler day because I never realized.
Oh, and there was a birthday, too, I think, in November. Is that possible?
Birthday?
No. Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe this is coming for your birthday.
Ooh. But I never realized we were next to the garbage dump until I got there. Remember, I walked up to you. We get to the Porsche Experience Center, and I walk up to you. Was it you or first?
It was me.
I go, "God, it smells like garbage here."
And then I pointed.
The waste management dump over there.
Well, it's hard to get that much land in LA.
Yeah.
It's perfect. We don't deserve any better than that. Yeah. We all deserve diarrhea on a plane. We know it. Believe me, we belong in the garbage dump. Yes. We don't deserve
throughout the plane.
Yes.
Up and down.
But what we try to do is tell you folks about the driving experiences of some of these crazy things, because you seem to enjoy it. And so do we. We love to drive them. Ooh. We love to talk about them. Ooh. What do you got before we go?
I drove for the first time. Well, I've driven a race car version. I drove an E-Type, a Series 1.5.
Wow.
68. 4.2 liter, 67.5. This guy, Paul Rivera, I was talking about. What a man. Those are just the greatest things. Like
cat's claw.
I drove a race car one once, and it was like, okay, the race car is cool.
They're wonderful cars.
I always, in the 60s, cars all sucked except for the 911. Nobody had good steering. Jaguar had good steering. Tremendous.
Like when you drive the 61 and realize what this car was in 61 and how Jaguar blew it. But in 61, it's far ahead of everything. Of everyone. They only put a little bit of development money into it, it could have been something. So you will drive my 61 and you'll say, holy shit, great handling, great suspension, great brakes, great engine, great everything.
This didn't have good brakes, but it's an older, it hasn't been restored, but I mean, god, it was good. God,
and
I
last
loved
but
it.
Not least,
loved it.
Go back in time, watch Michael Mann's Thief with James Caan.
Oh, yes.
I highly recommend it.
The adoption scene.
Yes.
Okay.
I give it, I say good stuff.
Mm.
Good stuff.
I can't watch anything other than the U.S. Open right now. I'm so hopelessly addicted.
You like the adoption scene? I mean, definitely.
What a scene.
Definitely, you know, gender relationships in that movie. You're like, is this how people really acted? Is this how they thought you should act?
And Willie Nelson.
Willie's in it.
All right, I'll watch.
He's the mentor.
Thief with James Caan.
I don't think I've seen this, but I love Michael Mann.
It's early Michael Mann. It's so good. Before Miami Vice.
Didn't Michael Mann just make the Ferrari movie?
He did.
Yep.
Fantastic.
He did.
So you will enjoy this. James Caan in his 79 Eldorado, his black Eldorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, times were good.
He spends a lot of time in that car, too.
Spends a lot of time in the Eldorado. And he probably, you know, spent a lot of time when he wasn't in the car in the bathroom doing lines.
Yes.
He looks a little bit coked out in the movie.
I mean, the adoption scene, there's some cocaine on the floor.
Somebody. Are you, so you're gone this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's just me and you. We got to do a show.
Friend from New York.
He might not be here. He might be here.
He might
Friday
be here,
night.
Might
we've,
be
got
here.
A, we've got it. We've got a newly. The pool is refinished.
Ah,
in Baldy. I would love.
Well, I'll find a third to stop by.
Find a third, and we've got our new co-host Rufus.
Rufus the dog.
Rufus the girl dog is ready for action.
Maybe we'll try to get Reggie, our friend Reggie Watts, to come out. It's been a long time.
He's back in town. Yeah.
All right. There it is. That's our show. The most car-y episode of Spike's Car Radio in 6 years of doing this crap, right?
Yep.
We just talked about 80 cars, so you can't complain. Just a little diarrhea and no Nazis.
We did. So, I was about to say, we didn't mention Nazis once.
How could I forget?
We didn't mention Nazis.
God damn it. This week's a failure.
All right.
That's our show. Goodbye. Just stop.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.